I believe that God, I believe that God will respond to your cry this morning. Is there anybody in the building that believes that, that when he shows up, he don't just show up, but he shows up with the answer. He shows up with provision. He shows up with everything you need. Is there anybody in the building today that can say, Lord, I need you to break these chains in my life. Lord, I need you to help me be an overcomer in this season of my life. Is there anybody in the building that's sick and tired of being sick and tired of it turning out the same way that it's been happening over and over and over again? I want you to trust God.
I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains falling.
I dare you trust God in the building today.
I hear the chains falling.
And if you have chains, if you have chains, I want to open the altar. I want to open the altar right now. If you have chains, I welcome you to the altar right now. I welcome you to the altar if you're going through some things today that's bigger than you. And you need a chain breaker in your life. You need somebody that is equipped, that has the strength to handle everything that it is that you're going through. I dare you trust God today and bring those chains on the altar. And we decree and declare in the name of Jesus that by the time we come up off that altar, the chains are gone. The chains are falling. The chains are no more. I dare you today, all over the building, to trust God with your issues, to trust God with your isms, to trust God with your chains, to trust God that he'll bring you through, to trust God that he is a deliverer, to trust God that he is a way maker. I dare you in the building today. Cry out to him today. Cry out to him today. We was never meant to be defeated. We was never meant to be disgruntled. We was never meant to be weak. We was never meant to be on the back side of it. We was never meant to be on the bottom side of it. I dare you today to trust God with every one of your chains, every issue, every heartbreak, every letdown, every betrayal. I dare you to trust him in the house today. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come here and we thank you, God, because you are mighty. You are good. And we understand that if it had not been for you, we wouldn't be able to be here today. Father, we come right now releasing these chains, releasing these issues, releasing this heartache and heartbreak, releasing all of the letdown. Father, we release it all to you. We don't want to be victims of depression no more. I bind that up right now in the name of Jesus. We don't want to be victims of depression no more. We don't want to be victims of low self-esteem anymore. We don't want to be broke in our spirit and broke in our pockets anymore. God, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak, decree, and declare supernatural healing to go forth over this whole church this morning. And I bind up every attack that comes up against the people of God today. We trust you. We trust you with our chains. Father, we trust you with our issues. We trust you with what all we're going through today. And we know that you're going to bring it to pass. Not just bring it to pass, but you're going to bring the victory to pass. And we thank you for the victory in advance. We don't wait for the victory. Hallelujah. We shout now. I said, we don't wait on the victory. Hallelujah. We shout now. I say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. 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 Is there anybody in the building today that don't mind giving God the highest praise? Hallelujah. 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 Declare that every chain is broken. Every chain in your life is broken. We decree and declare it right now in the name of Jesus. There will be no residue. There will be no residue. We decree and declare that it's done right now in the name of Jesus. We trust God. Did you hear him falling? Did you just get a little bit lighter? Did you just get a little bit lighter in the building? Hallelujah. I don't want to spend another moment connected to my chains. I don't know about nobody else in the building, but I don't want to spend another moment chained down, boggled down, disgruntled, broken on every side. I ain't got another broken day in me. I don't have another. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I don't have another broken day in me. I don't have another broken day in me. I don't have another depressed day in me. I don't have another depressed day in me. I don't have another day where I wear a frown instead of a smile. I don't got one more day in me. I don't have another day of defeat in me. I dare you declare it. I don't have another day of defeat in me. I don't have another failure in me. I don't have another failure in me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yarabashi. Free. For who the Son sets free. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Who the Son sets free. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care how long you've been going through it. I don't care how much bigger it is than you. We're dealing with a chain breaker this morning. You to know this power in the name of Jesus, and we've got to go from this place of just saying it to them. We really believe it, that when we begin to call on the name of Jesus, we expect something to happen. That's how it was in the days of the Word. When they called on the name of Jesus, they expected something to happen, but then they prepared themselves. When they called out to God, they prepared themselves in victory. Lord, have mercy. We've got to get to the point of where we call out on Him, and then we posture ourselves for victory. We posture ourselves for victory, knowing that He said, anything that you ask in my name, you can have it. Anything that you ask in my name, that you can have it. Is it anybody in the building bold enough to posture themselves for victory? You've cried out, now posture yourself for victory. Get yourself ready for victory. Hey, I dare you. I dare you. Posture yourself for victory. I dare you. Just put your hands up, ready to receive. I dare you. Put your hands up. Just ready to receive. And as you put those hands up, chains begin to slide down. Now, if you put them hands up, chains begin to slide. I dare you to posture yourself for victory today. To receive what it is that you need from the Lord. In confidence. In confidence. No turning back. No second guessing. He's here. The Spirit of the Lord is 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 here. He's here for you. He's here for me. He's come to set the captives free. The Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is here. The Lord is here. The Spirit of the Lord. You have to hear him. Do you hear him falling? You have to hear him. You have to see yourself. You have to see yourself set free. You have to see yourself as a captive no more. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 dare you declare it all over the building. I'm free. I'm free. I dare you declare it all over the building. I'm free. It ain't leaving this church with me. It ain't leaving this church with me. I ain't picking it back up. I'm not picking it back up. I'm not going to flirt with it, fool with it, get down with it any longer. I'm free. I dare you declare all over the building. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Woo. I dare you declare all over the building. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Hallelujah. I'm free. I dare you declare it all over the building. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Yarabashi. Yarabashi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what I want you to take home. Is his power is big enough to take care of it. His power is big enough to handle it. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, all over the building. Bless the Lord. Come on, right there. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, all over the building. Hallelujah. I dare you stand up. Come on. And give him that clink, clink praise. Come on. Give him an I'm free praise. I ain't going through it no more praise. I'm not broken anymore. I dare you give God a I'm not broken anymore praise. I might look the same. I might talk the same. But I promise you I'm not the same. I'm no longer broken. Listen, I want to tell you something. I want to tell each and every one of you something in here today. This is not just a moment. This is just not a part of the program. But what the Lord is expecting of you is to walk out of here in sure confidence that he has broken your chains. Can I just go ahead and let you know that sometimes what we do is we scream and shout that, and we're real excited in the building. But as soon as we walk out these doors, Satan has our chains saying, you left them on the altar. But just in case you wanted to take them with you, here they are. And you have to decree and declare. I want you to catch this because this is so very important. I want you to catch this. You have to decree and declare. I don't want those chains anymore. I don't want that hardware anymore. I don't want that jewelry anymore. I don't want to be connected to pain anymore. I don't want to be connected to depression and let down and low self-esteem and brokenness on every side. I don't want that anymore. Are you declaring that right now? I don't want it anymore. Why, Pastor? Of course we don't want that anymore. Why would you tell us to say that? Because the reality is what we've done is we've got conditioned to being broken. We've got conditioned to being chained up. So you have to make the declaration. I am no longer chained, and nor will I be. I won't be chained later on tonight, and I won't be chained tomorrow. I won't be chained Thursday when it's crazy. I won't be chained Saturday when I got some serious decisions to make. I won't be changed. You have to make up in your mind. Lord, have mercy. Come on, one more time. Let's give God a hand clap. One more. should have been streaming, because as the Bible says, you did not make it here on your own. If he saved somebody that was dear to you, I shouldn't have even been able to. Let's give God, and everybody should have just jumped up and lost their mind. Hey, watch this. If he brought the one on to glory that you wanted him to save, but watch this. But he kept you in your right mind. Nevertheless, you ought to be giving God praise. You understand what I'm saying to you? I just dare you to give God a hand clap. A little louder, he's God. A little louder, he's the Lord. A little louder, he's the Lord. He woke you up this morning. He woke your babies up this morning. A little louder, he's the Lord. He kept you in your right mind. I dare you praise him today. I dare you praise him today. I dare you praise him for your job. I dare you praise him for being able to pay your bills. I just dare you praise him. These little things that we just take for granted. I dare you give God praise today. Old saints used to say, when I look back over my life and I begin to think things over, can we have a look back over your life moment? First part just means we just need to learn how to praise God. I'm sure the God is, he wants a mall praise. We keep bringing him a dollar store praise. He wants a mall praise, and we keep giving him a dollar store praise. But is there anybody in here that can remember when the worst time of their life, when you didn't think that there was going to be any way that you was going to be able to get out of what it was that you had gotten yourself into? God didn't put you there because you was witnessing, didn't put you there, but you got there because you thought you knew everything, and God came, watch this, when family walked away from you, when friends walked away from you, when the church walked away from you, but God came and, oh Lord, y'all don't hear me in here, and delivered you out of your trouble and brought you out of the miry clay. Can I just go ahead and be 100 about that thing? Do you remember when you were spending time in your house talking about tomorrow's going to be like today? Lord, you don't even have to wake me up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Where it's so crazy that you find yourself on the brink of suicide. Where it's so crazy that you literally do not want to be here anymore. But God steps in on the scene of your life. And on the strength that he steps in on the scene of your life, he makes ways out of no way at all. Is it anybody in here that can remember when depression had you boggled? Depression had you beat down. Depression had you on the brink of giving up and throwing in the towel. But God, is it any but God praises in the building today? But God, I was about ready to lose my mind. But God, I was headed back to prison. But God, I thought I was going to kill myself. But you don't hear me in here today. I'm looking for the church that's been through something. I'm looking for some people that's been through something, that's been delivered out of something that they know they couldn't have delivered themselves out of. I'm looking for people who turn to people, who call Tyrone, but could find no help there. But when they called on the name of Jesus, they found out that there was power in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody in the building today that found out at your lowest low that there was power in the name of Jesus? Old saints used to say, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to praise his name. They go and say, I don't know what you come to do, but I come to lift him up. I come to give him glory. I don't know what you come to do. That's how we ought to wake up every day. The great theologian Martin Luther said, every time I get out of bed, I just dance because I understand I didn't have to. Lord, have mercy. Come on, one more time, all over the building. Let's give him a hand clap. Of praise. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord. time like this, when he's just doing this. This is just where we are. You say, well, what do I do when we say, when he says, we bless the Lord? I want you to just think about why you should bless him. Lord, have mercy. That's what you do when you, what if I don't speak in tongues? What if I don't jump and shout and dance and all of that? Just think about why you bless him. What it is that he brought you through. What it is that he's keeping you through right now. Is there anybody in the building that go ahead and be real about it and say, he's keeping me right now. If it wasn't for a little bit, I'd have unraveled a long time ago. But because he keeps me, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. Every now and then, you got to meet somebody new in your life. You got to meet somebody new in your life. And I remember when I was a child and I was in church and I was confused when I came home. And my grandmother didn't go that day. And she said, what's going on, baby? Why are you so confused? She said, and I said, he kept talking about somebody named Annie. And I was trying to figure out, who is Annie? And my grandmother said, who is Annie? I said, I don't know, but he says, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Is there anybody in the building that knows that God walks with you today? Yeah. So here's the homework for next week. Before we even get started, here's the homework for next week. Come in here with a praise in your heart. When you show up Wednesday night, come in here with a praise in your heart. And so let me tell you how that happens. Let me help you with that. Instead of when you come into the house of the Lord, instead of going and speaking to everyone, come on down to the altar and speak to God. You understand what I'm saying to you? Tell him, thank you for keeping me another day. On the strength that I'm here, things in my life still might be crazy. They might be hectic. They might not make no sense. But you know what? But I'm still here. So ain't no way I'm going to come into your house and not speak to you. Amen. And I guarantee you, but by the time you come off that altar, you're going to have a praise in your spirit. You understand what I'm saying to you? Don't you walk into the house of the Lord with nothing to give. You know, back in the day, you couldn't go over nobody's house unless you had something to give them as a token, as an offering for allowing you to be in their house. So today, I want to say, bring your token of praise next week when you come to the church. Amen. Somebody say amen. Let's get through this. My dark passenger, part 9, the final chapter. Anybody been dealing with your passenger lately? Anybody been dealing with your passenger lately? Lord, have mercy. My dark passenger. Part 9, the final chapter. You should. Tell you what he said to me. This is what Prince Charles, and I can't remember his name. His name is Prince Charles Prince. His last name is escaping me, but he said, and the praise team was right here. And he said, I want all the singers and everybody's connected to the praise team to catch this. He said, this right here has to be pure. He said, this right here has to be pure. He says, because other than the word, this is the most important part of it. He said, because if this right here isn't right, it's going to throw everything off. He says, this has to be pure. And the Lord gave me so much revelation when he said that. So much revelation. So we've come to the ninth and final segment of the sermon series entitled My Dark Passenger. And as many of you know, this sermon series was birthed by the movie of a TV show, cable television show, Dexter. In the show, Dexter is a blood splatter expert for the Miami Police Department by day, but he is a serial killer by night. Now, though Dexter is a serial killer, Dexter isn't a serial killer without a cause. See, and some of you are going to have to be serial killers, but it won't be without a cause. What do you mean, Pastor? You're going to have to kill yourself on a continual basis, but for a reason. The Lord says, I have such use for you. The Lord says, I have such use for you. But the enemy has had such a way with you that you don't believe that I love you anymore. Thus, you operate as a person that does not have love from his Father. But the Lord says to tell you, that could be no further from the truth. He says, I adore you. And you don't have to be high yet, Elisha. You don't have to be afraid to worship me. I won't reject you. You won't have to be afraid to love me. You've not done so much that I won't love you. You don't have to be afraid to have confidence in me. He says, because this relationship with you is what I desire. He says, now I've seen you fight just to stay alive. I've seen you fight just to stay mommy in front of your children. I've seen you fight to stay wife in front of your husband. He says, but what I need you to do is I need you to stop fighting and just get in me. He says, if you get in me, everything that is in you that is not of me, I will kick out. He says, I have desire for you. I love you. Don't be fearful. You don't have to be scared. Folk might have left you, but I won't. We're going to have to be serial killers. And the reality of this is, I hear you, Holy Ghost, sometimes we just get tired of killing ourselves. Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror after an incident of doing you, whatever that incident was, and was riddled with so much shame that you couldn't even look yourself fully in the eye in the mirror, because every time that you looked in the mirror, you saw what you done. You saw the ways that you failed. So in actuality, when you looked in the mirror, you didn't see you anymore. All you saw was your shame. So since you didn't see you anymore, Lord have mercy, you didn't operate, or you find it hard to operate as the you that you was called to be, and now you just operate in the you that you constantly see. And the world has such a bad perception of you because this is not really who you are. This is who you've fooled yourself into believing you are. So you do what you see. You got to kill yourself. And you can never be lazy about killing yourself, because every time that you don't kill yourself, your flesh strikes to kill you. These are just not ordinary strikes. These are strikes with intent to take your life, to take your purpose, to take your destiny. I don't know about anybody else in the building, but sometimes maybe somebody in here will understand me. Sometimes I wish those blows would just take me out, because it seems like it would be easier to just get it over with. wondering if it was just God, because maybe, just maybe, I could understand that you know, he loves me despite me. But when it is that I begin to fail in front of people that he has blessed me with, and all they can see is my mess ups. See, you know, it's been said, you can do 1,000 marvelous works, and everybody is side-eyeing and keep moving. That's good. Probably. Bless the Lord. Look at you. Praise God. I knew you could. But when it is that you fall, they sit still on that, don't they? That ain't no quick brush off or playoff. They stay connected to you because they want to remind you constantly of your failures. You're going to have to kill yourself on a daily basis. If you're anything like me, you're going to have to kill yourself on a moment-by-moment basis. Because this flesh, this passenger, is always trying to rear his head. And I don't know about anybody else, but I don't know. But my flesh is on steroids. It seems that we fight longer than we should have to. And do you know why it is that you fight? Sometimes you have to fight. You know why the reason that the battles go longer against the flesh is because the flesh deems you predictable. Your flesh deems you predictable. And when you start telling your flesh, no, we're not going to do that this time. No, I just repented. No, I just gave my life over to God, and I'm pretty sure I'm in the 700s of times of doing that. No. And the flesh goes, like that cat that I talked about last week, I'll just stick around. You've got to be careful when you're combating with your flesh, and then all of a sudden you don't see your flesh swinging anymore. It isn't necessarily that you've gotten the win. But even in the Bible, we're taught that the enemy left Jesus for a more opportune time. You got to be careful about having so many opportune times. You got to be careful about being weak. Weak in your decision making. Let me get back to that. Dexter is a serial killer with a cause. And what I mean is, Dexter doesn't want to kill. But whenever he hears of someone getting away with a horrible crime of serious magnitude, such as murder, well, Dexter's dark passenger kicks in. As I've said all through this series, we all have a dark passenger. And if you're not careful, your passenger will have you in some of the craziest of situations. Today, as we close this series, I want to give you some keys, a key or two, to make sure that from this day forward, you never have to be a victim to your passenger again. And the first thing that God showed me this morning is in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Let's go there. And it says in Galatians, chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, then you are not under the law. Now, I'm going to spend some time on this verse 16. And it says, walk in the Spirit, and you open up the cages of the pit bulls and they decide that they're going to go to war with one another, what dog do you think is going to win? Will it be the dog that you've been feeding? Or will it be the dog that you've been starving? Many of you might believe the dog that has been starving because he's most desperate will win. You might believe that because he's probably more upset than the dog who's been getting fed, and he could be more angry because the other dog has been getting fed and he's not been getting fed. And can you remember a time in your the last time in your life that you went without any food? I mean none. I have had days where eating isn't an option for whatever reason, and I want you to know that that will adjust your attitude. That will adjust your attitude. And after not eating one day, after not eating 2 days, the mind begins to wrap itself around the fact that it's probably not going to be fed tomorrow. And not only now are you hungry with an attitude, now you're hungry with an attitude understanding that you probably won't be fed anymore. So when you think about it like that, the dog who's been starving is probably the most hungry. But I want you to understand that when they raise the gates to these cages, the dog who's been fed has more nutrients. Because he's been fed, he's been able to sleep better. So he's rested. He has a strength from the nutrients provided for him. And no matter how upset that starving dog is, that starving dog has no win. May I suggest that this is the situation or scenario when it comes to the average believer. If you are a person who is never in God's word, now listen, I want to say this. I want to say this, and I want you to catch this. If you are going to have any control over your passenger, you're going to have to grow up. We are married into this thing with Jesus. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I always say that marriage is for mature folk. You're going to have to grow up if you're going to live saved. You're going to have to grow up. I want to say this. I want everybody in here really listening to me because this is powerful. This is really powerful. And this today, because there's no flash, there's no whole lot of yada yada. This is just what it is. But if you will take what it is, it will be better. You will be better, and as a consequence, our church will be better. You're gonna have to grow up when it comes to the things of God. And I'm gonna tell you why you have to grow up when it comes to the things of God. Because if you don't, that same hypocritical life that you was forced to grow up in with people who called themselves believers and only believed while they was in church, but once they left the church, they was out the back doing it. It was back to doing them again. That's how you're going to raise your kids. Your kids are going to have to operate in some of the same curses. They will become generational. Your grandkids, this is why they out here at 4 years old cussing and we think it's cute. If you're going to be saved, and I want you to catch this, you're going to have to let you go. You're going to have to let you go. How you look at it, how you feel about it, and how you think about it. And you say, well, you know, I ain't right. No, the Bible says, Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. See, what God was saying, what the Apostle Paul was saying was, I don't need your thinking. He was saying this through the Apostle Paul. I don't really care how you look at things. It doesn't matter. I don't need anything. I don't need your intellect. I don't need your degree. I don't need anything. And Paul even said, when I came into the realization of Christ, I counted all things. so if you're going to be saved, she might die one day, but she still got to get Jesus. Oh Lord, she might die one day. She still got to get Jesus. Can I say it again? She might die one day, but she still has to get Jesus. Because if she doesn't get Jesus, you might as well labor her victim. Until you get Jesus, you might as well label yourselves victims. And not and watch this, not necessarily at the hands of the enemy. You will first be victimized by your carnal decision making. Anybody ever made a bad decision? Knew it was a bad decision when you made it? But all you was thinking about was for that moment of pleasure. I went out of town without my medicine, and had all these nice assortments of food that with my medicine I could partake a little of, but without my medicine I shouldn't have touched a piece of it. I touched more than a piece. And that bad decision making had me not able to sleep because of the attacks that bad decision making brought to my body. You understand what I'm saying to you? If you don't kill yourself, parents, somebody gonna have easy access to killing your children. Because an unkilled life is a life with no defense. Did you hear me? What you will not kill, you will not have control of. And so it comes a time when we have to grow up and be about this book. And look at this. Can I see your book? You see this right here? I didn't even notice. Did you see this right here? Do you know what this means right here? I live my life through this. You know what I'm saying? I think I see some envelopes in there. I live my life through this. This is a Bible that says I go everywhere my owner goes. Some of us are so childish that we know we need to have that Bible everywhere we go, just as a reminder. We run around here with these bracelets, WWW, what would Jesus do? And what would Jesus do? And you still do you. But it's something about having that Bible there. When you're headed to a house, it ain't your home. It's something about having that Bible right there when you're about to lay up with a person that ain't your mate. And let me say this. It would be wise to define your weaknesses. It would be wise to define your weaknesses, find scripture for those weaknesses, and then commit that for the rest of my days, I will live by this word. Yeah. Now, this is boring to the person who don't care to be disciplined. Yeah, this is boring talk right here. This is boring to the one that says, I'm going to do what I do because I'm grown. But when you've made a decision, Lord, have mercy, that you're going to walk for God for real, that you're going to live for God for real, then this actually becomes some nutrients that you need, because when you decide that you're going to live for God, you need every bit of help you're going to get. You can get. Yeah. I'm always laughing at believers that be saying stuff like, all I need is the Holy Ghost, really? I'm not saying that the Holy Ghost ain't enough. He's everything that you need. But until I'm fully disciplined, until my mind is mature, I could use a few Christian brothers and sisters to edge me on my way. Because the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to make you do anything. He's going to present you the situation. I love how my spiritual father, Jeff Swain, says, he says, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm just a guardrail. I just make sure the car don't go in the ditch. That's all I can do. But don't think because it don't go to the side off in a ditch that you can't wreck head on. He says, I'm just a guardrail. So we're going to have to get to a point in our lives, watch this, that the Bible is actually good. How you talk about, you know, I just snuggled up and got put under my covers and watched me a good movie. You know, you need to get to the point to where you're like, you know, I just snuggled up in my covers and just got in that word and it was so good. It was so good. Isn't it amazing how our Lord, Abba Father, released a book, a manuscript that would help us in the disciplining of our flesh, and as a result of that, we would get to spend forevermore with Him. I want you to understand this. Listen to me, because there's some people in here that are struggling with some things that they ought not be struggling with by now. So I want you to hear me and hear me good. If you do not apply the Word of God, you are always going to be in the misery that you find yourself in. And I remember we had a church and we had all so many young people, 19 to 25. I mean, it was packed out over at the old church, and everybody wanted to know the formula. What's the formula for being happy? What is the formula? What is the formula for not getting played? What is the formula for, you know, finding your mate? And I would say things. I would say, listen. You have to choose properly. You have to choose that you're going to live by the Word. And I promise you that if you choose to live by the Word, then you're going to have to choose some friends who live by the Word, because you already don't want to do the Word. So you're going to have some people in your life that do the Word on a regular, because they keep the Word in them on a regular. Y'all ain't hearing me in here. And they're going to give you what you need when the enemy is trying to tell you what you don't need. Yeah, that's the word. Accountability. And here's the problem. You got to stop having accountability partners who ain't got no accountability. Well, such and such said, well, where's such and such go? Oh, they really don't fool church like that. The Bible says, blessed is he that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So some of y'all going to have to understand that your Dr. Phil, if not saved, should not be allowed to diagnose you, nor deal with your diagnosis. Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't care how right they've got him time and time again. That's just a setup for when it's time for them to tell you something stupid, super stupid, you go for it. You ever have those, anybody got any of those friends? They smart to a moment. They smart to a point. And then when it is that you have, when you need that person to be godly in your life, you can't find them anywhere. All they say is a bunch of stupid stuff. So single women in here, you got stupid friends. So that when your relationship don't, yeah, I said it, you got some stupid friends. So when your relationship don't work out, they tell you, they don't say, you know what, you need to repent from that relationship, repent for all you did in that relationship, get on the altar, get in that word, and stay in God. They don't say that. Your stupid friends say stuff like, girl, you know what, you need to go on out with me tell you, you know, because you know, you got option A over here who built like Beyonce. But option B has a heart of God. And your stupid friends look past the heart of God. I'll shout it thicker than Alabama mud. They tell you that's who you should. They see her and make a decision. Oh, that's the one right there. The Lord wouldn't give you perfume might be on my shirt. Am I talking to him? Had a ball with the Christians. I used to be professional. Had a ball with the Christians, but the enemy tells us they don't ever do that. Now they do is go to church. Let me tell you something. If you come to some of these meetings at this church, that's not in the way. Some of the conversations that take place at some of these meetings at this church. some of the conversations. Because here's the reality. You save, but we still have a life to live. We ain't always deity thou. You understand what I'm saying to you? But because we're not always deity thou, don't mean that he ain't always in us. Why is the men's meeting so important? Because I need to be around men who are being saved or trying to be saved just as I am, that's going through hell. I need my iron sharp. Why is it important to go to the women's meeting? Can I go ahead and be real about that? First of all, so y'all can first find out that y'all actually like each other. I don't know what it is about church. And until the women come together and realize they don't hate each other, everybody think everybody got a problem with each other. Oh, y'all are trouble species. Leave the women's group and come back and be like, you know what, such is really all right. And we talked, and we didn't even know why we was mad at each other. Huh? It's the truth. You need that so that you can know that you got somebody at 2 in the morning. Our leadership knows what I'm talking about. You got somebody to call at 2 in the morning. It breaks my heart when things happen with you guys, and I heard that y'all called somebody else. And usually who you called wasn't saved, but you didn't call your family. You didn't call your church family. That breaks my heart when I hear that. You made all these phone calls. If you have a person who is never in God's word, does not study God's word, does not spend time in prayer or in his presence, when the war between the flesh and the spirit happens, the Christian who has been in the word and studying the word, basking in God's presence, it will be the spirit who wins the war. Here's the problem. I want you to catch this. This already went wrong. My bad. Here's the problem. After enough losses to the flesh and then having to deal with the consequences to losing that war, the believer who is a victim to his flesh no longer fights anymore. He has nothing left. Have you ever just took loss after loss because of bad decision and bad decision, and then all of a sudden you don't even look to the word no more? You just become a victim because you just have nothing left. And that's where Watchman Nee, a famous pastor, he says that's what the enemy does. He doesn't kill you all at once. He kills you day by day, little by little. Have you ever just woke up totally spent? Nothing left. So little by little, and here's what happens, and we see it in this church all the time. Little by little, we see that person begin to fade away. They no longer come to church, or they come to church, you know, it was coming to church Sunday, but now they hear every Sunday, every now and then you see them, and then they no longer come to Bible study. You know, they was actually so hot, they was on fire, now they ain't coming to Bible study, and then they stop showing up for the ministry that they signed up for, and you see it happening. They're gone. The ways of the world have choked them out and snatched them back. They aren't reading at home anymore, and their prayer life is so stale, so unmeant that those prayers never get past the roof, let alone to heaven. How many of you have found yourself in times where you say, man, let me just go ahead and pray real quick. And you pray maybe 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes, and you get up and you go on, you're like, man, at least I pray. so that don't apply to you if you are a continual sinner. Then the Holy Ghost ain't making no intercessions because the Holy Ghost is not in you. And I'm telling you why you're losing. I'm telling you why you're losing. And even if you think you're winning, I promise you, you're losing. I'm promising you, you're losing. You might have it going on. You might have everything you want. Life might be lined up just the way you want it, finally. But you are losing if God is not in the center of it. You're losing. The Bible says, what is it? To profit the world, but you lose your soul. So you leave this world having done everything you wanted to do, having the nice clothes, the cars, the houses, all everything. But God was not pleased. So for 40, 50, 60 years, you lived the way you 70 years. You lived the way you wanted to, just to spend eternity in hell, burning. This is real. I cannot stress to you enough the importance of feeding your spirit on a daily basis. Quality time in the Word, quality time in prayer, meditating on His Word daily. I cannot stress this to you enough. Can we just be real in here? Because I want to make sure we remedy this problem. How many of you in here are going through some things? Put your hands up. Be honest. Don't you? You're in church. Don't lie. And how many of you are going through things? Watch this. Keep your hand up. But you read very little Word. Now, if you're reading the Word and you're still going through things, let your hand down. But if you read the Word, but if you're going through things and you don't read a lot of Word, keep your hand up. This is why. This is why. Because we do not read a lot of Word. And if you ain't reading a lot of Word, you might as well just go and tell the truth, shame the devil, you ain't doing a lot of praying. Now, how many of us got a whole lot of things, or got some things going on? We read the Word a lot, but we're reading to get out of what we're in rather than be in relationship with Him. Read a lot, because I heard if you read the Bible, He'll bring you out of it. That's usury. God is looking for people that when they are going through hell and high water, you understand what I'm saying to you? Their posture does not change. I was reading to be with Him before the hell happened. I'm going to be reading during the hell to be with Him. And after it's over, watch this, I'll read to be with Him. But not because how many of you, when you're going through hell, your prayer life increases? Even if they're 3-minute prayers, your prayer life increases. God is looking for the believer that says, my posture is as such. I prayed before I was going through the hell. I had a prayer life during the hell, and I'm going to have a prayer life after. Don't make no never mind what it is that's going on in my life. This is not why I read more or why I pray more. I read and pray more. Watch this, because I want to be with Him. And not just in heaven, I want to be with Him down here while I'm in earth. You know the difference between people who stay in the Word and stay in prayer, because when hell happens, they don't shift. This faith gives them the ability to be the them that they always were before the hell and high water, because faith is just that powerful of a tool. But everybody who, when you see people lose their mind at a little bit of adversity, that is letting you know ain't no Word in them. Ain't no prayer life. Ain't no relationship. Watch this. Are you ready? I hear you. Okay. I'm going to say it. But because you done connected yourself to a church, you think it's supposed to be worked out. Because you done connected yourself to the pastor, because you done got cool with some people in the building, you think that because you shouldn't be having to go through it. I belong to a church. And that's all you belong to is a church. You don't belong to the Father. Don't belong to the Father. And I'm telling y'all, we're living in this time where He has to matter. He has to matter. Lord have mercy. If you are ever going to have victory over your flesh and victory in God, you're going to have a healthy spirit, a fed and full spirit. But every time that you fulfill the lust of the flesh, you strengthen the passenger, or you weaken your spirit. The only thing, watch this, I'm sorry, not only are you supposed to walk in the Spirit so that you don't please the flesh, watch this, every time that you walk in the flesh, you are destroying yourself. are destroying yourself. Every time that you walk in the flesh, you are setting yourself up for a potential maddening downfall. Look at verse number 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these things are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you wish. So the flesh is fighting your spirit so that you don't do what you want to do, which is serve God. But the spirit is fighting against the flesh so that you don't do what you want to do, which is serve the enemy. You understand what I'm saying to you? So whoever wins the war dictates who you're going to serve. How many are losing the war right now? That's just okay. It's okay. It's okay to be honest. See, Jesus said, if you deny me before the Father, I deny. If you deny me before men, I deny you before the Father. So stop lying because you're around people. How many losing the war? Let's be 100 about this. Well, I want you to know that can change. You don't have to be losing the war. You was not set up nor sent. Jesus said, I come to give life more abundantly. He says it's steals, kills, and destroys. So why do we continue to get down with somebody that we know don't love us? Why do we keep making decisions that give the enemy reign over our lives? Now I want you to get this. The spirit, your spirit man, could be in top-notch shape, but that will not stop the flesh from shooting your shot. Why are y'all so surprised when hell knocks on your door? So surprised. I don't care how much Bible you read, the Spirit gonna try. But on the strength of how much Bible you read will be how quickly the flesh is decimated. And he needs to be decimated on a daily basis. For me, moment by moment. Amen. So this weekend we were out of town and we were in Brooklyn and the traffic, if you've ever been to Brooklyn, you can explain to somebody that's never been to Brooklyn about the traffic, but they don't really get it until they're there. And I've been telling my wife, and I'm like, I'm telling you, we go to Brooklyn with me. And so we get out and kick it a little bit, and then we get back in. And I have to be at this place at a certain time. And it's all the way over in Jersey. And we spent 30 to 45 minutes on three blocks, trying to get down three blocks. And it's double-minded person, unstable in all their ways. So watch this. If I'm in faith, if I'm in the spirit one day, but then the next day I'm in the flesh, you have no reason to believe in anything that I believe in, because I am double-minded in all my ways. And this is the word that I want you to think about. A hypocritical Christian is an unstable Christian. Oh, Lord, did you catch that? A hypocritical Christian is an unstable Christian. So how many of you have people that you love that you want to see come to glory, that you want to see come to the Lord, but you can't get them there because you're unstable? You're called to be stable. You're called to walk in the Spirit. You're called to denounce the flesh at all times. There is never an okay moment to operate in the flesh. Never. And if we are going to win the world, if we are going to win the world, if we're going to win our children back, if we're going to win our families back, if we're going to win people to Christ, we're going to have to be steadfast one way. Unshakable, unmovable. And that's going to start with you making a quality decision. Making a quality decision that you're going to walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? Galatians 5. 19 to 21. That gets you together. 22. That gets you together. Galatians 5. 19. You begin to read around 19. Yeah. It gets you together. It starts off with the works of the flesh are evident. And if you sit back and you read the works of the flesh is evident, and what they say is evident, if that's you, then you know that you need to get on your face and repent and begin to walk this thing right. In short, in closing, let me say it to you like this. The way that you're going to kill your passenger, you have to understand that it's going to be a daily thing. It's not just going to be once he's gone. And then you got to watch the triggers in your life that activate your passenger. Get rid of those triggers in your life that activate your silly. That push you to a place of where you're doing things that you should not do or say things that you should not say. Get away from what's not clean. He says he'll accept us as sons and daughters. So some of you are going to say, well, I ain't doing nothing wrong. You're just around people that ain't clean, so he ain't accepting you. He didn't say you had to be doing anything wrong. He said come out from amongst you. I ain't doing nothing wrong. He didn't ask you that. He didn't say nothing about you doing anything wrong. He said don't touch it or you ain't mine. And some of you are not where you want to be in God. God is not showing up the way that you know that he can in your life simply because you might not be doing nothing wrong, but you're wrong because you're around it. You're around them. Don't let your good, you see. So you got to be grown. And you ask yourself a question, am I going to live for Jesus? And am I prepared to do whatever it takes to do that? Get rid of these crazy associations that have nothing to do with the Lord. This is serious. A man died. A man died on the strength of this. This is serious. Get rid of all evil associations. Watch this. And the verse that I really wanted to give you was Ephesians 4:27. And it said, do not give room to the devil. Do not give room to the devil. Give me the Amplified of that real quick and we're out. I promise. Nor give place to the devil. Did we get the Amplified on that? Therefore, rejecting all falsehood, whether lying, defrauding, telling half-truths, that's when you put a little bit of truth in and the rest of it is a lie, half-truth, and you know why a half-truth is more worse than a lie? Because a half-truth is believable. Half-truths, spreading rumors as any such, give me the rest of it, any such of these, speak the truth each with his neighbor, for we are all